Bibles, if you will. I feel like preaching a little bit this morning. I hope you'll bear with me. I might spit a little bit. I might sweat a little bit. Hey, my friend, I might take my jacket off and throw it out. But hey, we're going to just preach the Word of God and let the Word of God help us here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, take your place there if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll read just a few verses together. I believe the first four verses together we'll read. I want to try to give you something to help you this morning. I appreciate the great crowd we have here. But we have church members, we have visitors, but we have all kind of people in the audience this morning. Hey, thank God you're here with us. I believe you're here by divine design. There's no accidents with God. There's no mistakes on God's part. He's put a burden in your heart to be here this morning, and may God help us. Look here if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Notice what it says here in verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Here, my friend, we have something the Apostle Paul has given to the church here in Corinthia. But he's given it to us, my friend, today to preach. I want to try to preach on these two words here in the very first verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice what it says here in the very first verse, the gospel. Here Paul says, "I'm going to declare, I'm going to give to you, I'm going to preach to you the gospel." My friend, we've got a lot of panty-wearing preachers that's going to preach something other than the gospel to you. I'm going to preach the gospel to you this morning. I'm going to tell you how to be saved this morning. I'm going to tell you what salvation will do for you this morning if you'll just come to trust in Jesus Christ. We've mentioned this time and time again, and I'm going to say it one more time. This church cannot save you. Hey, this pastor cannot save you. Your good works cannot save you. The only one that can save you is Jesus Christ Almighty. He left heaven's abode. He was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half years upon this earth, sinless, my friend. He was the sinless Son of God, and he hung between heaven and earth to pay for our redemption, to pay for our sins. The Bible says here, the gospel. I thank God for the gospel. I'm glad I got in by the gospel. I'm going to tell you, my friend, what the gospel will do. Hey, the gospel will save you this morning. The Bible says here, if you would, in verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you. Hey, my friend, if you'll believe the gospel this morning, Jesus Christ will save you. You'll be saved. You say, "Preacher, what I'm saved from?" You're saved from torture. You're saved from torment. You're saved from a place called hell. You're saved, my friend, from your condemnation. I want to tell you what else the gospel will do for you. Hey, my friend, it will separate you this morning. You get saved. By God's grace, he saves you. Thank God he separates you. Well, you're not who you used to be. You're looking at Scott Bass this morning. You're looking at a person who used to be someone different than I am today. But thank God when you come to Jesus Christ, he saves you and separates you, my friend. He takes you not out of the world, but he takes you from the world and makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, this hand who used to hold a Budweiser, this hand, my friend, who used to roll marijuana, this hand, my friend, who used to have tools to break in people's houses and steal what they had. Hey, this old hand, my friend, you know what it's doing now? It's not holding a Budweiser. It's holding life. It's holding the Word of God. It's holding something that can change people's lives. I want to tell you, my friend, I'm no more rolling a joint. I'm no more smoking dope. I'm no more popping pills. I'm giving the gospel out to people. I'm trying to change people's lives. You're looking at Scott Bass. I've got the same skin, the same haircut, the same eye color, but I'm a new person. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, the gospel will save you this morning. It also separates you this morning. But I'm going to give you something else real quick. The gospel satisfies you. Well, thank God it satisfies. Lost in a world full of sin, hell deserving, on my way to a devil's hell. But thank God I met Jesus Christ. I got satisfied. Well, I'm not looking for anything else. I'm no more looking for the truth. I'm looking in the truth now. But when I was lost, I was looking for something to appease myself, to please my flesh, to help the empty void in my heart. If you're lost this morning, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You've got an emptiness in your heart. You've got an emptiness in your life. And you try everything imaginable to fill that emptiness. You try everything imaginable to fill that joy, to fill that loneliness, to fill that emptiness that you have. But thank God you meet Jesus Christ and He moves in. He's big enough to fill the void. He's big enough to fill the hole. He's big enough to move in and, my friend, satisfy you in your life. Hey, the gospel saves. It separates, but it also satisfies. I'm satisfied this morning. The Bible says, my people, God says, my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. But I was able to eat breakfast this morning. I was able, my friend, to sleep in a bed last night. I was able to have a roof over my head. I was able to have clothes on my back. I'm able to get an automobile to come to church today. Hey, all that's great and all that's glorious. But my friend, I'm going to tell you the most greatest thing of all. When I close my eyes in eternity, I don't have to worry about going to hell. I get to go to a place called heaven. Hey, the gospel satisfies this morning. I don't have to worry about tonight when I lay down what's going to happen to me. I don't have to worry about today if I die, what's going to happen to me. I get to go to heaven today, not because of how good I am and not because of what I can do, but because of God Almighty and His great love wherewith He loved us, that He sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross, that us old sinner boys, us old sinner women can place our faith and trust in Him and be saved from sin and be set free to serve and be satisfied with Jesus Christ. I tell you what else it does. Boy, not only does it save, not only does it separate and satisfies, but the gospel secures. It secures. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Boy, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hey, Thomas was a little bit confused. He said, Lord, we don't know where that goes. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, hey, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. These angels said to ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in the heaven? This same Jesus, hey, this same Jesus who took care of me, hey, this same Jesus who's met my needs, this same Jesus who provided my meals for me and took care of me while I was sick and healed my mother and took care of my family, the same Jesus, my friend, who I look to every day, is coming back one day in the clouds to receive me into Himself. Hey, the Bible says, brother, be not ignorant in this one thing. He said, Paul said, hey, I don't want you to be ignorant. He said, they which sleep in Jesus. He said, all those who died in Christ shall rise again, and then we which are alive remaining shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Hey, my friend, the Bible says that the gospel secures. Hey, we're saved to the uttermost. He satisfies a longing heart. He separates a wicked person. He saves those who would come unto Him. Oh, boy, we got a lot in the gospel, don't we? Here, Paul said, I'm going to declare to you the gospel. I'm going to do my very best. Well, I was just born in Mullen, South Carolina, just in the backwoods of Mullen, South Carolina. I don't have a good education. I hope you understand the words that's come out of my mouth. I'm going to try my best this morning to tell you what the gospel is. Paul tells us what the gospel is here. Look with me, if you will. The Bible says here in verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. My friend, you know why? I'm going to shoot this in here. Don't throw no stones or rocks or anything right now. You know why some people can't go soul winning? Because they don't know the Savior. Here, Paul said, I'm going to declare to you which first I also received. Hey, Paul said, I received something that's so good it's worth telling somebody else. Hey, my friend, I promise you this, that if you went to that old hellacious place and got you one of them lottery tickets and scratched it off and won $1 million, I bet you'll share that. You'll tell somebody else, hey, I'm a millionaire. Hey, I'm a millionaire. Hey, my wife the other day, some lady, we don't believe in gambling. We don't believe in none of that wicked stuff. But my wife was at Walmart and someone asked her, do you want to donate $1 to the Children's Miracle Network? And my wife said, well, I'm not gambling. The woman said, no, you're not gambling. So she gave her ticket, $1 to the Children's Miracle Network. And that woman behind the register wrote my wife's name down on a piece of paper and stuck it in a basket for a drawing. My wife won that drawing. But she got a big old laundry basket full of good stuff. You know what my wife done? As soon as she won it, she called up somebody and said, I just won. I'm a winner. Hey, she got home, she told Tiffany, she said, hey, Tiffany, look what I've won. I won a big old basket. I didn't know I was going to win it, but I won it. Hey, God's so good to us. Hey, my friend, if you're excited about what you've got, you'll be willing to tell someone else. Hey, Paul said, I've received Christ as my Savior. Hey, the Jew who persecuted the church, a man who died should die and go to hell. He said, I've received Christ as my Savior, and I'm going to declare unto you the gospel. Here's what the gospel is. In verse 3, the Bible says here, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. You say, preacher, what's the gospel? First thing, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Not according to the pastor, not according to anybody else, but according to the scriptures. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. You don't have to turn here. I'm going to read these verses to you. But the Bible says this for us in Romans. You don't have to turn there, but please let me just take time to read this for you. In Romans chapter 3, notice what the Bible says here. Christ died for our sins. Our sins will send us to hell. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 3, verse 9, what then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have both proven before the Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their way. They all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I come to you today and I say, how you doing, brother? And you say, I'm doing pretty good. Well, the Bible done shot that down. He said, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. The Bible says here, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. Hey, the four nones is against us today. The Bible says it is written, there is none righteous, for all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Now raise your hand this morning. Let me finish before you do. Raise your hand if you've never told a lie, never had an argument, and never had a bad thought. I sure can't raise my hand. Well, I've done all three of them. And such were some of you. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that Christ has died for our sins. You know what the gospel is? Hey, the gospel is good news. Hey, the good news is that Christ has died for our sins. But before you know what the good news is, you've got to hear the bad news. Hey, my friend, if I tell you today, I've got a 5-gallon. Hey, brother Noah, if I tell you I got a 5-gallon bucket of water, that's not too much good news to you today. But if I tell you your car's on fire and I've got a bucket of water, hey, that becomes good news. Hey, Jesus Christ died for our sins. That's good news. But it's only good news as you hear the bad news, that we're lost sinners deserving to die and go to hell, but Christ has died for our sins. You say, preacher, what's the gospel? The gospel is that Christ has died for our sins, and the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's still a whosoever gospel, whether you're black or white, rich or poor, dumb or smart. Hey, the Bible says for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's still a whosoever gospel today. What is the gospel? That Christ died for our sins. Because we're sinners. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Let me just read this verse to you. It says, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. All of us is in the same boat this morning, friend. Hey, I can point my finger at you, and point my finger at you, and point my finger at you. But as I point my finger at him, I got three more pointing back at me. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. But what's the gospel? The gospel is that Christ has died for our sins. The Bible says, wherefore by one man, talking about Adam and Eve, sin entered into the world. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The gospel is that Christ has died for our sins because we're sinners. Not only that, but notice what else the Bible says about the gospel here. The Bible says here in verse 4, and that he was buried. And that he was buried. Not only did he die for our sins, but he also was buried for our sins, my friend. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Not only did Christ die on old rugged cross for our sins, and we can paint you a picture. We can paint you a picture. How they put nails in each hand and put his feet together and nailed them to the old cross, my friend. How they lifted the cross up and allowed it to drop into the hole and pulled his bones out of joint. We can tell you before that how they put him on a whipping post and it gave him the cat of nine tails and lashed his back and pulled meat and pulled bone and pulled vessels out of his back. We can tell you how they grabbed his beard and pulled out flesh and blood just coming out of his face and blood coming out of his back. We can tell you how they took a crown of thorns, probably 2 or 3 inch long thorns, and jabbed him into his scalp and pushed him into a skull. We can tell you how they took their hands and smote him on his face and put spittle on his face until their spit covered his face. We can tell you all that gruesome stuff, my friend, how they hung him on a cross, how he was there naked, exposed before the world in humility. Well, he was in humility on the cross of Calvary, but he's not in humility anymore We got crosses in our house, but Jesus is not on them. Because Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God making intercession for us. What is the gospel, preachers? It's how Christ died for our sins, how he was buried, how he took our death for us. He took your sins for you. He took your death for you on a cross of Calvary. Our sins was nailed to his cross. Your sins was nailed to his cross. You say, preacher, what if I get saved? What about all my future sins? Hey, before, when Christ was on the cross of Calvary, all my sins were future then. I've not sinned one time. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. You say, preacher, what's the gospel? I'm going to tell you the simplest way I can tell you. The gospel this morning is that we was all sinners. We could not help ourselves. We deserved to die and go to hell. But God Almighty loved us so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to hang an old rugged cross, to die for our sins, to be buried in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there and took our death upon him. Let me read these verses to you here. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. How many people has ever worked a job? Raise your hand for me. You ever worked a job? All right. Well, that's good. So when I get old enough to draw Social Security, I should have some, right? All of y'all worked a job. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. After you get through working your job on Fridays, you hold your hand out for something. Boss man, come on. Give me my paycheck. I worked all week. I want my wages. I want my $550. Give me my money. Right, Brother Dave? Give me my money. You know what? You live your life any way you want to. I'm not going to dictate it. I'm not going to judge you. But I want to tell you, my friend, you live your life like you want to. If you live it in sin without Christ as your Savior, if you don't get saved, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You're going to have to die for your sins one day and go to a place called hell. You say, preacher, will that one little lie send me to hell? The Bible says, for all have sinned. We're born into sin. We're shaped in iniquity. We come out of our mother's womb speaking lies. We just got this sin nature. You know what an apple tree produces? Apples. You know what a banana tree produces? Bananas. You know what a sinner produces? Sin. And because we're sinners. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by conduct. We're sinners by choice. We're sinners because of the way we was born. And Christ loved us so much. He died for our sins. He took our death upon him. He was buried in a grave. The Bible says here that the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Let me read this to you. It says, but God commendeth. That word commendeth means showed. Hey, God showed, God commended his love towards us. And that while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ loved you so much that he died for you. Even though he knew you was going to curse his name, even though he knew, my friend, you was going to live the life you live and do the things you do and engage in the things you engage in, even though God knew the life he's living, he still loved you enough to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you so you can be saved. Amen. You say, preacher, why did he die? Because the payment for sin is death. And the only way to escape, hell is for the sin debt to be paid. And if you pay it, you have to go to hell forever and never satisfy the payment for sin. But Jesus Christ satisfied God Almighty when he died for our sins, died for your sins. Let's make it personal. He died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. He paid the payment for your sins so you don't have to die to go to hell. You can ask God for forgiveness. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and be saved. The Bible says, here's the gospel. That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried. And the Bible says, on the third day, he rose again according to the scriptures. Here's where, my friend, our salvation, our religion, our gospel separates us from everybody else in the world. Our God's not dead. Our God's not dead. You go to Buddha, his bones are still there. You go to Muhammad, his bones are still there. Had you go to Mary, her bones are still there. Our Savior, he died for us. He took our death upon him. He was buried in a tomb. And the Bible says on the third day, he rose again, alive forevermore. He's got the victory over death, hell, and the grave, over our flesh and sin. The Bible says, here's the gospel. Christ died for your sins because a payment had to be paid. That he was buried and took your death took your hell, took your suffering upon him. And then on the third day, he rose again. Your Bible says he's alive now. Because he's alive, he gives us life. Let me read this for you here. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever, well, it's still whosoever. You say, preacher, what about my life? God says whosoever. I remember one day we was visiting Brother White, and we went to this neighborhood and talked to this black man and knocked on his door and tried to give him the gospel, ask him to be saved. And he said, preacher, I can't be saved. I said, oh, yeah, you can be saved if you're trusting God. He said, no, I can't be saved. He said, years ago, I killed somebody. Oh, Lord. I said, well, God forgive you that. He said, well, I beat my wife. I said, well, God forgive you that. He said, well, I cursed God and I drank and I do all these wicked things. I said, well, God forgive you for that. He said, I can't be saved. I said, if you trust in Jesus, he will save you today. You say, preacher, today, you don't know my life. I don't need to know your life. I don't need to know your sins. All I need to know is the Savior. And the Bible says, if you come to the Savior will save you today, give you everlasting life, make a new creature out of everybody who put their faith and trust in him. The Bible says he was died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. The Bible says here, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is free today. You say, what's so good about the gospel? Hey, it's free, it's affordable. Anybody can receive it by faith in Christ. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, for with the heart the man believes in righteousness. You're here today, you know about the Lord with your mind. Everybody knows who Jesus Christ is. But so many people miss heaven for about 16 inches. They know about him with their head, but they don't have him in their heart. For with the heart, man believes in righteousness. It's not just praying a prayer. Hey, it's not just putting on a suit and carrying a King James Bible and coming to church. Hey, you just forget about all that for just a minute. And it's not about how good you can dress up the outside. It's about what you have on the inside. If you know Christ, your Savior, beloved, you're saved by God's amazing grace. And he births something on the inside. He creates something new on the inside that works its way on the outside. My boys have got some transformers. They don't call them dolls. They call them transformers. You know, they ain't going to play with a baby doll. That's for sissies, right? They got transformers. And when you first buy that thing, it looks like a little bug beetle, or it looks like a little army tank, or it looks like a helicopter. But as you start unfolding it, it transforms into a robot. It transforms into something else that it wasn't. Oh, you can't see what God's done on the inside, but he saved me from sin. And what takes place on the inside transforms itself to the outside. I'm going to tell you this, beloved. I'm going to shoot it out there to you. You can take it, like it, lump it, whatever you want to do. If you got such of a big God as I got, and if he moves inside of you and don't make a difference, something's wrong. Either something's wrong with God, and beloved, there's nothing wrong with God. Either there's something wrong with God, or there's something wrong with your profession of faith. Hey, someone as big as God move in, he's bound to make a difference somewhere. He's bound to stick out somewhere, my friend. Hey, if someone as big as God move in, he's going to show up somewhere, my friend. I think about the old damsel that said, Peter, your speech betrayeth thee. Hey, Peter trying to get away for a little bit and warms himself by the devil's fire. But I don't know what happened. Maybe he started thinking about the good times. Maybe he started thinking about the wonderful miracles Christ performed. He just stood up and said, hallelujah. I don't know what he did. He might have said, praise the Lord. He might say, hey, glory to God. And the damsel looked at him and said, hey, your speech betrayeth thee. You're one of them. Hey, bro, you're one of them. Hey, you're one of them Baptists. Hey, you're one of them Baptists who believes that Jesus Christ can save and purify and cleanse and separate and sanctify and satisfies and secure. Hey, you're one of them who's got born again. Hey, you're one of them who's been washed in the precious blood of Jesus. Hey, I'm glad I'm one of them. I'm glad I'm one of them. I don't have a hope so. I've got a know so. I know I'm saved today. I know it better than I know anything else. I know it better than I know anything else. I know my wife was taking out a pot when I left house this morning. Not a pot you smoke now, a pot you cook in. She was taking out a pot and she put it on the stove. I hope she cooked something. I hope I go home and eat something. I hope she has some good old pot roast and potatoes and carrots and onions. Maybe a little bit of cornbread and rice on the side. Hey, man, right there. Some good old iced tea with a little bit of lemon and a napkin wrapped around it. What's the napkin do? It just makes it look better. Hey, I hope I eat, but I know I'm saved. I hope I'm alive tomorrow, but I know I'm saved. The gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says neither is there salvation in the other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You say, preacher, I'm going to live good enough till I make it. You won't make it. You won't ever live good enough to make it. You say, preacher, I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to keep coming to church until I get that feeling. The devil make sure you don't get that feeling. The devil make sure that you won't come to church. The best thing you can do is just come as a guilty sinner. The Bible says for the world, just come guilty before God. Just say, God, I'm a guilty sinner. I deserve to die and go to hell. But the Lamb will plead the blood and ask you to forgive me and save me my sins. I know Christ died for me. He was buried. He rose again. And because he rose again, because he ever liveth, we have life today. Hey, we have life today. Hey, the Bible says in Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, for I'm God and there's none else. Hey, you look to Jesus today. You look to Jesus today, and he will save you. He will save you. He will change you. He'll give you life. He'll give you hope. He'll give you rest. He'll give you joy. He'll make a new creature out of you if you'll just look to Jesus. Hey, just look to Calvary. Hey, just look to Calvary. We know Christ was in the middle, two thieves on one side. Hey, don't be on the wrong side of the cross. Hey, one thief repented and placed his faith in Jesus. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hey, one thief just railed on him, and one thief, hey, just mocked Jesus. Hey, my friend, I don't know which side was which, but don't be on the wrong side of the cross. Be on the side of the cross that you're repenting your sins and place your faith and trust in Jesus. The gospel, he died, was buried, and rose again. I'm going to give it to you as clear as I can. You say, preacher, how do I get saved? Realize who you are. That's where it all starts. You realize we're all sinners before God, and that Christ paid for our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. And if you ask the Lord to forgive your sins, ask him to come into your life and your heart and be your Savior, that's what he'll do. He'll take your sins and wash them away in his precious blood, never to be remembered anymore. You know, my friend, the devil knows your sins. Your neighbor knows your sins. Hey, your wife knows your sins. You know your sins, but if you're saved today, God don't know them. They're gone. They're gone. Forever forgotten. He'll cleanse you of them sins today. He'll birth you into his family. 30 years ago, I was born. I know I don't look that old, but I am. 30 years ago, I was born. October 21st, 1980, I was born. When I was born, I entered into my family. Hey, almost 90 years ago, I was born again. And I entered into the family of God. The Bible says you're born by the water and by the blood. The water is the word of God. It's been broken today. I've shared it with you today. If you're trusting Jesus, beloved, he'll save you. He'll change your life. He'll allow you to live the Christian life through him. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here Paul said, if you believe it, if you'll keep in memory what I'm preaching to you, you'll be saved unless you have believed in vain. We've got a lot of people who come to the altar. They got a problem in their house. They got a problem with their wife. They got a problem with sickness. And you know what a lot of people do? I want you to really get this. They get up out of their pew, and they come to this altar, and they say, Lord, save me. I'm sick. I've got heart problems. I've got cancer. I don't want to die. I want you to save me from my cancer. I want you to put my wife, my marriage back together. I want you to restore my house. And they come to the altar and pray a prayer just to get help from God, not to get saved. They believe in vain. If you realize you're a sinner, it don't matter if God straightens up your house. It don't matter if God takes away the cancer. It don't matter if God gives you another job or not. If you realize you're a sinner and you're willing to do business with the Lord and say, God, forgive me my sins and save me, that's exactly what God Almighty will do. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you die without Jesus, you've got no choice but to go to hell. If you'll come and place your faith and trust in Christ, he'll save you today and give you life. Amen. Choose you this day, Jesus, or torture, torment, hell, lake of fire, where the Bible says there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. What would you choose today? If you're lost, won't you choose Jesus? Amen. He won't let you down. He won't let you down, beloved. He'll save you. He'll save you today. Would you stand with me? With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, we're going to pray here in just a few minutes. We're going to play an invitation this morning. I surrender all. I hope you do. Just for a few minutes, can we bow our heads and close our eyes? We're going to pray. But I want to ask you this question. Would there be one here this morning that say, "Preacher, I'm going to lift my hand because I realize I'm lost and I need to be saved. Preacher, I'm going to lift my hand because I want you to pray for me." Is there one in the church building who would just slip it up real quick and say, "Preacher, I'm lost. I need you to pray for me." I see those hands. God bless you. I see those hands in the back. God bless you. There's another. "Preacher, you pray for me. I'm lost. I'm lost, preacher. You can put your hand down. I see it. God bless you. Preacher, I'm going to lift my hand. I want you to pray for me. I'm lost. I'm undone without Christ. I need to be saved. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you right now. And when I get through praying, well, the invitation is going to begin. If you're serious with the Lord, I want you to come forward this morning and receive Christ as your Savior. We have someone to take the Bible, show you some Bible verses on how you can be saved this morning by simple childlike faith in Jesus. I want you to pray with me. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, right now I pray for those who raise their hand. The devil's going to do all he can to try to discourage them from coming forward today and receiving Christ as their Savior. The Bible says if they will believe the gospel, they can be saved this morning. If they believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, repent of their sins and put their faith in Jesus, that he'll save them. And I pray, God, right now you'll speak to their hearts and give them the confidence and courage they need to step out of the pew. Well, as soon as the invitation begins, as soon as the first note's given, when they step out of the pew and come to this altar, receive Christ as their Savior this morning. Receive this new life in Jesus. Lord, help them. I pray, God, you would. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. As the invitation begins, your heads bowed, your eyes closed. You pray right now. If you're a Christian, you pray for these who raise your hand. I want you right now, if God has dealt with your heart and you know you need to be saved and you want to trust in Christ, I want you just to step out of your pew right now and come on. Come on down to this altar. I'll meet you, my friend. I'll be right down here with you. Brother White's right down here with you. You come on. If you know you need to be saved, I want you to come this morning. Just come to trust in Christ this morning. He'll save you this morning. He'll save you. He'll give you a new life this morning. You raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I'll preach to you." But right now, would you be willing to trust in Christ? Right now, would you come and receive Christ as your Savior? As he's dealing with your heart, would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Look unto Jesus and be ye saved. He says, "Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I give you rest." Won't you take Jesus with you today? Won't you receive Christ today? Sir, won't you receive Christ today? Madam, won't you receive Christ today? Won't you ask the Lord into your heart today? Boy, you want him. You want to be saved. You want God to forgive your sins. And you say, "Preacher, I can't live it." You let Christ come on inside, you can live it. He'll help you. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the strength to live the Christian life. Won't you just come to trust in him? Won't you come to trust in him? Hey, how about some of you folks that's gotten saved this past week? And you need to make it public. You need to let others know that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Won't you come on forward right now and let the church know that you got saved by God's grace, that you trusted in Christ? You trusted in Christ, you come on. Let the church know. Hey, let the church know you've trusted in Christ, that you're saved. That you're saved. You come on if you trusted in Christ this week. Let the church know you're saved this morning. Ask the church for their help by praying for you. Hey, let them know, hey, you're serious about this thing. How about you, beloved? How about you? Would you trust Christ this morning? You raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved. Won't you come right now? Hey, miss, won't you come right now? Hey, mama, won't you come right now? Hey, daddy, won't you come right now?" And just trust in Christ as your Savior. If you believe the gospel, if you'll believe the gospel will do the job today. It'll save you today. It'll save you today. Should play one more verse. To join this church, won't you come on forward for that this morning? Won't you come on and say, "Preacher, I want to be a member of this church. I want to be a member of this church and be used by God in His church." Won't you come on? You come on this morning. Play one more little verse for us.